Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. I'm a team filling in for Qasim today. And our guest today is Mark. So Mark, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
I'm Mark Cranes from New York, and I am the head perfumer at Demeter Fragrance Library, and I also own it.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
Now, the truth is I'm not quite that creative. I bought Demeter when it was about 5 years old. And the concept was really radical at that time, which was to create fragrances inspired by real objects and experiences. The original mission being to try and capture all the smells of nature and the garden. So that's where the name Demeter comes from, the Greek goddess of agriculture.
So in terms of buying this business, like what gave you that idea? Like what, you know, in terms of being, so you could go and buy any business. So what made you want to choose this one or this industry specifically?
Well, I had already been in the fragrance business almost 20 years when I bought Demeter, distributing traditional prestige and designer brands. So the radical approach, and it was more radical 25 years ago than it is today, to Demeter's approach to fragrance really fascinated me. No one was thinking about fragrance other than in what had become the traditional way over the last 50 years. 60 years, meaning designer and fragrances inspired by fashion designers or celebrities. There was very little that's about purely fragrance.
Right. So as of right now, so you're saying that most of your fragrances are inspired and yet you're working with lots of celebrities, or what does that look like for you?
No, our fragrances, we have over 300 fragrances. Almost all of them are inspired by real objects or experiences. So we're making fragrances with names like baby powder, dirt, angel food cake, dragon fruit. And they smell like those things on their best day in their best context. So, and gave me a cosmopolitan where they squeeze the lemon juice right in front of me. You go out through the back of the inn and you're watching the sunset in Southern California. It was spectacular. So when I made a cosmopolitan cocktail, I wanted to capture that scene. I wanted it to smell like that cosmopolitan, but I wanted you to feel the whole scene, the relaxation, the beauty, the sunset, the garden, all of it in that one smell. So it's photorealism, but it's broader than just, you know, making something that smells like a strawberry.
Right. So in terms of these fragrances, like, you know, who's your typical clientele? Like, who's buying these types of fragrances?
Basically, we have two kinds of customers. The customer who is completely anti-perfume. In that sense, we have been called the anti-perfume perfume because it's not the typical kinds of smells that are associated with classical perfumery. In fact, what our fragrances are the notes, the building blocks that are used to make more complex designer fragrances. So when a master perfumer, let me back that up a second. I'm sure you're familiar with the traditional dry down of a designer or prestige fragrance. Starts out smelling one way, then it changes, and then it probably changes again over a period of an hour or two and stays there. What that is that master perfumer starts out with various notes. And a good way to think about a note is the smallest amount of ingredients that will make up an identifiable smell. So he or she takes those fragrances, understanding that every one of those notes has a natural time period that it's going to start to express itself. So that perfumer knows if they start with a lemon, that's going to express itself first. And if they use rose, that's going to express itself later in the process. And then if it uses sandalwood, that's going to express itself after the rose. So what the perfumer is doing to create that dry down is taking advantage of what he or she knows or the natural way that those fragrances are going to flow and taking advantage of that. They're not trying to change it. They're trying to use it to create an experience. In our case, we take the notes and make them the stars. And that has several important ramifications. One is that the fragrance does not change over time. It expresses its nature immediately and stays that way. The other is just the way that we're built, the way that people are made. When you smell something you love, you just have to smile. You have to react to it. The visceral emotional reaction to scent is greater than any other of our senses. So what we're trying to do is take advantage of that and create a very emotional experience by triggering your emotional response to a particular scent. So your response to that scent is going to depend in part on your history. So if my grandmother made the most fantastic chocolate cake, I'm going to have a certain experience to chocolate cake, the smell of chocolate cake. If your grandmother burned down the house while she was baking the chocolate cake, you might have a different visceral emotional reaction.
So are most of your fragrances, are they being sold as kind of a keepsake, right? Saying, hey, like, you know, kind of like, you know, what you're saying. It's like, if somebody is like, okay, you know, I want to bring back, you know, this experience of being in California or Greece or wherever, they can smell the fragrance, really feel like they're back in that place.
That's, it's literally about changing the way you feel.
That's amazing.
It's smelling beautiful. It's changing the way you feel, and it's making a statement about this is what's important to me.
That's really cool.
That's very different from most designer and prestige fragrances, where the statement is, I'm affiliated with. Yeah, it smells great, but I'm a Taylor Swift girl. I'm a Christian Dior woman. I'm a Chanel number 5. You're related to whatever the marketing is of that particular fragrance. Because most fragrances that are not inspired by real objects or real situations, and there are a few others now, are dealing in fantasy. It's more like impressionistic painting. So it's a little harder to figure out exactly what that's supposed to be. So the perfume companies are happy to tell you.
Makes sense. So then you step
into that story.
So I was just going to ask, like, how do you ensure that your fragrances have the best quality ingredients?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is define what best quality is. I know what we're going for. We're looking to create that best experience of that particular either thing, item, object, or an experience itself, like going to Ireland. So when I think about what are the best ingredients, it's what can I create that will most accurately smell.
I'm not really thinking about where it's coming from. We have a belief that things should be as natural as they can be, meaning that we don't use any artificial colors, we don't use any artificial preservatives, but I will use synthetic fragrance to get the result that I want. For me, best ingredients is lined up with what is the scent. Everything's driven by scent for us. There are other brands that are based on the fact that all their ingredients are organic, or that they know that their roses specifically came from a particular valley in Grasse. That's not how we roll.
Makes sense. So how do you get the word out, it's like, about what you're doing? It's like, what does marketing look like for you?
We've always been a word of mouth brand. We're niche-y, we're touch culty, but in a lot of ways, the market's come to us the past few years. If you look at things that other designer brands are doing, they're making simpler fragrances. If not single notes, they're sort of dressing them up to be like single notes. So there are other people in the space now, but no one else can seem to quite get away from their perfumed background and really focus on something that doesn't smell like perfume.
Like, I was just going to ask, like, are you 100% B2C or are you doing some B2B as well?
We're basically two categories. We do a lot of B2C is the core of our business. We export to other parts of the world and we use the distributor model then. So that's B2B. And we do have probably 100 or 150 independent stores in America. And we also have a relationship with HEB in Texas. But our retail presence is limited. It's mostly about our conversation directly with the consumer. And we do most of that either through the website or through our social channel.
Makes sense. So in terms of the website, you know, what is the role of technology in your business?
It should be greater than it is. you might have noticed that I'm an old guy, so it won't be shocking that technology is not my greatest strength. But I do have two sons who are in their early 30s and mid 20s who are moving that forward as we speak. You'll see a new website in the next month, and I think you'll see us retailing still B2C, but in a lot more places than we used to be, and with a lot more paid marketing support over the next few months.
Awesome. So are your sons also bringing aspects of artificial intelligence into your business?
They are. Asking me about that is going to be a loss.
But, you know, the
truth is that we're migrating to a new Shopify website, and they're building it. And there's a lot of stuff on Shopify that is, you know, that AI is now part of. And I think our email program, which is a big part of what we do, is going to get more and more automated.
Awesome. So besides your email program, like, what else do you think the AI or technology could help, you know, if it could solve something just, you know, straight away?
For us, the biggest thing is customer service. We've got over 300 fragrances, which means that we have almost 3,000, maybe more than 3,000 products. So that's a lot of questions to answer and a lot of knowledge for anybody to have and a lot of knowledge to categorize. That's where I think AI is going to make a big difference for us.
Makes sense. So you're thinking like a high-level chatbot, you're utilizing AI to engage with your customers.
I do in particular because, backing up, we talked about what single notes are and how single notes are used in designer fragrances. Well, one of the big things about making 300 different single note fragrances is the customer can mix, blend, or layer them right on the skin to create their own more complex signature scent. And they do. Blending, though, is an aspect that requires, the more guidance you have, the better off you are. We try and make it as foolproof and as simple as we can, but not everything is foolproof and simple. That's where I think AI can make a big difference for us down the line when we get our hands around it better.
So have you looked into creating content like YouTube videos talking about these different fragrances? Like, have you done that at all?
Yes, I have done those things in the past. I haven't done as much during the pandemic where we're dealing with a lot of other issues. I'm actually planning on getting back to that now, starting to make a new series of videos about creating your own signature scent.
So what would you say was your biggest challenge in taking over this business?
The biggest challenge is I'm in a category, which I think is probably just about everybody's in right now, where there's a few companies who are huge. You know, you've got two Fortune 500 companies in the category, Estee Lauder and L'Oreal. So I'm a $3 million, $4 million, $5 million net business competing with behemoths. And we primarily sell to the same people in the same ways. So it's a challenge competing with really big international companies for a small company.
Yeah,
painful.
That's true. But I think that there is a big trend that people are going more towards like boutiques, you know, smaller shops, because there is that, you know, level of personalization, that there is that higher quality. It's like you're behind your branding and people want to buy from you and they know you. And I think that makes a huge difference.
I think it's true. And we are more on trend than we've been for a long time. It's nevertheless, the biggest fight is always the fact that when my competition launches a fragrance, they launch it with $15 million in sales and a $10 million advertising program. It's hard to compete with that. We have to be smarter, and we have to be nimble, and we have to find white spaces to breathe in.
No, so, I was just going to ask, like, in terms of goals, right? So it's like, how do you look at the future in terms of, okay, like, you know, obviously that they're like, you know, much larger, but like in what areas you think, okay, like you can beat them over here and doing this, you know, or in this market, right?
Well, we used to have this, you know, this area of single note fragrances all to ourselves. We really don't anymore. And we just continue to try and the more that we can build the direct relationship with the customer, the more that we can build the concept. And the more we build the concept about personalization in this category, the better we're going to do. We're always going to be niche because we're never going to launch a fragrance with a $10 million budget. It's just not who we are. So we're always going to play that smaller fill-in role, and we have to be very nimble about understanding where that means we have to be at a given time.
That's, but do you have, like, you know, I'm sure you probably have lots of repeat customers, right? Because I think it's more just the information, because people don't know that you exist. Once they find out that you're there, you know, they're probably going to buy once and come back and come back and come back, right?
You know, it's interesting. We have a lot of churn on the website. You know, a significant portion of our business is novelty. There's a lot of people who want to know what Christmas in New York smells like, but may not really be interested in chestnuts and apples as something they want to wear. We get a lot of people who buy dirt. Dirt's a beautiful fragrance, but people buy it, you know, the beautiful fragrance and the name goes a long way. So people who are inculcated into thinking that perfume should smell a particular way are not going to become big repeat customers for us. They're going to experiment and fill in a little bit.
You have lots of folks probably that are repeat customers, you know, buying for holidays, you're buying for family and friends, even for themselves.
Oh, for sure. You know, we do have our core customer, but we have a lot of people who are designer fragrance customers who will come in and grab one or two things to layer on an accent with their existing fragrance.
Makes sense. So what is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you took over this company?
If you're going to be in a consumer category, be properly financed. Watch your cash. It's been a struggle. We're self-financed, and that has been, you know, a struggle from day one. You need generating, you know, free cash flow for marketing.
So how are you able to, in terms of like inventory management, like how do you know how much inventory to hold for, you know, obviously, it's like, I mean, that's a big challenge for many retailers.
I have the opposite problem. Solve that problem and it creates a different one. I'll explain. We make 300 different 30 ml 1 ounce fragrances. So I worry about the stock for glass, pumps, labels, and oils, the materials that actually make up the fragrance. And then we make most of our stuff to order. So my problem is not about shelf stock. It's about, I avoid that problem by creating production delays. So we're actually working on finding that happy medium. And that's another thing where AI is going to help us, assist us in getting a better idea what we have to make in advance of a particular holiday. So we do have the right stuff on the shelf, which is brutal for us. And since we're always fighting with cash flow, we don't put finished goods on the shelf, but then it creates a production backlog.
Makes sense. Yeah, I think AI can definitely help in that way, like as you mentioned. Because,
right. Yeah. So I solved one problem and just created another.
Yeah, exactly. But also it's one of those things that can be hard to predict those trends, right? Like, you know, with COVID, for example, nobody knew that e-commerce would boom like that, you know, like how it did. So I think also it's like you have unexpected events or things, you know, that can happen where models can't even predict those things.
There's more and more stuff, and we've been living through it the better part of the last 10 years. You cannot predict. I mean, we were 20% of our business was in Russia and Ukraine, went away overnight. You know, there are things you in the world we live in, you have to react. There's just a lot you can't guess. We built a business that was half an export business because that's what my background was and I understood. And I'm here to tell you, it's way harder to export than it was 5 years ago.
So,
you know, and price is only part of it. Now there are all sorts of logistical issues and non-tariff trade barriers that didn't exist before.
Yeah, no, that's definitely in the last like 10 years or so, things have changed a lot. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
I'm hoping that this holiday, which we're really, I think, well positioned for, is going to set a new floor so that we're going to be starting next year from a higher basis of sales, which, you know, makes everything better. You know, excess sales cover up a variety of issues.
Yeah, makes sense. So somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you. Do you mind sharing like your website and social media handles? Best way for somebody to get in contact with you and to find your brand?
Well, a few things. DemeterFragrance.com is our core website. You can also find us on Amazon. And the best way to get in touch with us is probably on Instagram. Although we obviously, we're under the handle Demeter CEO. And I have an email, scent suggestion at DemeterFragrance.com. that I try and answer anyone who has a question about fragrance. I don't get to them all, but I answer as many as I can. And that can be about blending, it can be about Demeter, it can be anything about scent. I'm happy to talk about it.
Awesome. Well, Mark, I want to say thank you so much for your time today. We're rooting for you, having a big holiday season. And hopefully we can chat again in 1 year as your company keeps growing.
I hope to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.